Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo explains about the terms of Russian propaganda. President Joko Widodo encouraged all parties to participate in maintaining unity as the nation's greatest assets. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo explained that the term of Russian propaganda he mentioned while campaigning as presidential candidate number 01 in some regions did not refer to Russia as a country, but to the Russian propaganda terminology that was referred by non-profit institution RAND Corporation in article entitled The Russian Firehouse or Falsehood Propaganda Model. According to the president, the term Russian propaganda, which he delivered, refers to the style of utterance of lies which raises doubts and uncertainties. President Joko Widodo also explained that his relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin was not affected by the designation.
Ya, ini kita tidak berbicara mengenai negara ya, bukan negara Rusia. Itu ada terminologi dari
Well, we are not talking about Russia as a state, but it is a terminology from RAND Corporation article. Hoaxes, lies, and false information can cause hesitation and uncertainty. And without a concrete data, it will sound like that. Once again, it is not a problem related to the state. We are Indonesia and Russia. I and President Putin, our relation is perfectly well. Since it was mentioned, Russian propaganda has become viral among the society and pointed on the political contestation in Indonesia. Related to the case, Russian Embassy in Jakarta, through its official Twitter account, mentioned that the Russia's principal position is not to intervene in domestic affairs and electoral processes in foreign countries, including Indonesia, which is a close friend and important partner of Russia. President Joko Widodo on Thursday night attended the 72nd anniversary of Islamic Students Association alumni KAHMI. The celebration that took place at KAHMI President Akbar Tanjung in South Jakarta. In his welcoming speech, the president started his engagement to the Islamic Students Association. According to him, the organization that was established by Lafran Pane has consistently boosted Indonesia and the development issue of Islamic and Indonesian understanding among university students. It is really needed by the society because Indonesia is blessed with diversity.
Tadi Bang Akbar menyampaikan mengenai masalah keislaman dan keindonesiaan. Inilah yang sejak lama
Akbar Tanjung conveyed about the issue of Islam and Indonesia. This is what I admire from HMI cadres, wherever they are. In addition to produce many young intellectuals, the Islamic HMI cadres are always upheld about Islam and Indonesia, because we are aware that this country is vast, diversity, and colorful. Different tribes, different regions, different customs, different traditions, and languages.
Berbeda suku, berbeda agama, berbeda adat, berbeda tradisi, berbeda bahasa daerah.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said that diversity is the biggest asset owned by the Indonesian people.
He encouraged all parties to participate in maintaining unity as the nation's greatest asset. Present at the 72nd anniversary of the Islamic Students Association alumni Kami, a number of state officials, as well as national and political figures. This event was also attended by HMI representatives from all over Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on residents to allow the construction of an oil refinery in Tuban Regency East Java by state-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina and Russian oil company Rosneft. President Joko Widodo asked residents to reconsider their objection to the project and take into account its positive impact on residents living close to the project site. The president also said the country needed to have its own oil refineries. Refinery will not only be built in Tuban, but also in Balikpapan and Bontang in East Kalimantan, as well as Balongan in West Java. However, residents who were against the projects could communicate their aspirations through regional administrations. Pertamina and Rosneft signed a joint venture agreement in 2016 to build the Tuban refinery, the former's first new oil refinery to be built in two decades. The refinery is part of Pertamina's plan to boost national fuel production to 2.3 million barrels of oil per day by 2025 from 1 million barrels per day in 2017. Chinese communities around the world welcomed the Year of the Pig on Tuesday, ushering in the lunar year with prayers, family feasts and shopping sprees. In mainland China, over the past week, hundreds of millions of people have cramped into trains, buses, cars and planes to reach a family and friends in the world's largest annual migration, emptying the country's megacities of much of migrant workforce. The most important holiday of the Chinese calendar marks the New Year with a fortnight of festivities as reunited families wrap dumplings together and exchange gifts and red envelopes stuffed with money. Pigs symbolize good fortune and wealth in Chinese culture, and this year's holiday brings a proliferation of porcine merchandise, greetings and decorations. Streets and busy thoroughfares were uncharacteristically empty in Beijing on Monday, with many shops and restaurants closed until next week. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Finance Ministry has issued a new regulation on a new tax incentive that reduces interest income taxes for exporters that place their foreign exchange earnings as fixed deposits in Indonesia. Under the new regulation, the final interest income tax for export earnings deposited in U.S. dollars are 10% for one-month fixed deposit accounts, 7.5% for 3 months, 2.5% for 6 months, and 0% for deposits more than 6 months. Meanwhile, the final interest income tax on foreign exchange earnings placed in rupiah-dominated fixed deposits accounts at domestic and international banks in Indonesia are 7.5% for one-month fixed deposits, 5% for 3 months and 0% for 6 months and longer. Under the revised regulation, the government requires natural resources exporters, including mining, plantation, forestry, and fishery companies to deposit their foreign exchange earnings in Indonesia. Thousands of lanterns grace the road between Jalan Jenderal Sudirman and Pasar Gede Market in Surakarta, Central Java on Tuesday in celebration of Chinese New Year. The Chinatown are look lovelier than usual and will continue to be decorated by lanterns until February 28. Pasar Gede Market served as the center of the city's Imlek celebrations. In the past, the area was the economic center for newly arrived Chinese immigrants. Today, there are still many Chinese Indonesian merchants to conduct business in the market. In the past 3 years, Imlek celebrations in Surakarta have made the city a popular tourist destination. Aside from lanterns, the city administration has also introduced wooden boats for people to cruise the Pepe River. Surakarta Mayor Ax Hadi Rudiatmo said it had taken some time to create the tourist attractions on Pepe River. It took a year to widen the river, clear it of trash and then dredge it of sediments. The water attraction has returned the river to its proper function. The city is also holding the Surakarta Imlek Fair and Grebek Sudiro Cultural Parade.
State-owned mining holding company PT Indonesia Asahan Aluminium Inalum recently established the Mining and Minerals Industry Institute MMII, a research center aimed at boosting the downstream industry to help meet the government's goal of reducing imports. Inalum President Director Budi Gunadi Sadikin said, besides bringing added value to the industry, the institute would also work as a lobby group to ensure sustainable mining policies. To strengthen its position as a research center, the Mining and Minerals Industry Institute has teamed up with several institutions, such as the Research and Development Center of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, 5 state educational institutions, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Energy Initiatives, MITEI. Prior to the establishment of the MMII, Inalum, through its subsidiaries, has been working on at least 4 downstream development projects, namely building an alumina smelter in West Kalimantan, gold gasification, and other products in Riau. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in commentary. The title is, the tension between the U.S. and Russia should not trigger another Cold War. The United States and Russia will suspend their participation in the Intermediate Range Nuclear Process Treaty, or INF. Kremlin responded the U.S. plan to suspend the INF Treaty. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Russia would join the U.S. to suspend the treaty. U.S. President confirmed that the U.S. would withdraw from the INF Treaty on last Saturday. Meanwhile, Putin preferred saying that Russia would suspend its involvement in the treaty. Donald Trump's statement regarding the suspension of the treaty was already issued in October 2018. Trump's reconfirmation on U.S. suspension received response from the Kremlin. Both countries have agreed with the INF Treaty since it was signed by U.S. President Ronald Reagan and Russian President Mikhail Gorbachev. Based on the treaty, the two countries are obliged to terminate their intermediate-range and short-range missiles in Europe. Donald Trump claimed his reason to suspend the treaty because Russia has violated the agreement. Despite the claim was declined by Russia, Donald Trump is still determined to suspending the treaty. The statements of the two state leaders may create tension not only between the U.S. and Russia, but also among U.S. and its partners in Europe. Previously, the tension among Russia, the U.S. and their allies in Europe rose in 2014, when Russia annexed the part of Ukraine's territory, Crimea. Will the tension between the U.S. and Europe become a side war followed by disagreement over the statements of the two leaders, or does the tension imply that another Cold War is about to happen? Despite of the threat, people hope the Cold War shall never happen again. The good relationship which has been developed between the two countries must be maintained in a bid to establish world peace. That was commentary.
Today in history begins with information on 6 February 1922. The International Conference on the Limitation of Armament was concluded by the signing of Pentagon Agreement. The agreement was signed by 5 countries which participated in the conference, namely United States of America, United Kingdom, France, Italy, and Japan. Based on the agreement, the use of chemical gas and poisonous substances for armament are prohibited. A few years later, through the protocol in Geneva, most countries in the world supported the action by signing the treaty in June 1922. Next, on February the 6th, 1958, Manchester United team was hit by a tragedy after the plane carrying their players crashed. The tragedy happened when the MU players were on their way to UK after playing against the Red Star Belgrade team for the European Cup qualification in Yugoslavia. The British Airways, which flew from Yugoslavia to UK, transited at Riem Airport, Munich, to refuel. However, a moment after the plane took off, the plane lost its control and fell down. The plane carrying 38 passengers and 6 cabin crews was burnt. Manager of MU Matt Busby and the Red Devils midfielder Bobby Charlton were safe from the incident despite of being heavily wounded. Last information is that on 6th of February 1993, Muhammad Nasir, an Indonesian figure, passed away. Muhammad Nasir was a Muslim cleric, politician, and fighter of Indonesia's independence. He passed away on 6th of February 1993. Muhammad Nasir was a prominent Islamic figure. He was known to be the founder and leader of an Islamic party named Partai Masyumi, or the Masyumi Party. He used to serve as a minister and prime minister. Muhammad Nasir also contributed to improving Islam by being the chairman of the World Muslim Congress and chairman of the International Mosque Council. He was declared as a national hero on 10th of November 2018. Listen to That Was Today in History.
Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Ku menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguh yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Jalani hari tanpa dirimu. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our program My Indonesia. Today's topic titled State Savings Bank BTN holds Indonesia Property Expo 2019. Thousands of people attended the Indonesia Property Expo or IPEX 2019, which takes place at the Jakarta Convention Center from February 2nd to 10th, 2019. General Director of State Savings Bank BTN, Mariono, after opening IPEX 2019 in Jakarta on Tuesday, expressed his optimism that the expo would give a credit worth 6 trillion rupiah. IPEX 2019 is a routine agenda held every February and September. The expo held in February is a series of events held to celebrate the 69th birthday of BTN, focusing on housing funding. IPEX 2019 is participated in by 167 developers, which are classified into 116 non-subsidized mortgage loans developers and 51 subsidized mortgage loans developers, with a total of 869 projects spread in various regions such as Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi, West Java, Central Java, East Java, Sumatra, Sulawesi, and Kalimantan. General Director of BTN, Mariono, said that the expo, BTN provides mortgage loans with low interest starting from 6.69% for each year. Mariono further said that BTN would also improve online mortgage loan service to attract millennial generations. This February, the website www.btnproperty.co.id comes with new appearance and additional features. For example, the 3D housing project feature. With this feature, consumers can check the sample houses of BTN's developers. The 3D feature gives consumers the opportunity to experience the sensation of checking the sample houses in the real location. The other additional feature includes transactional booking fee. By using this feature, consumers and visitors of BTN Properties website can book the houses of developers which have joint cooperation with BTN. And this new feature also facilitates consumers to pay the booking fee through some payment methods such as ATM or virtual account, internet banking, and mobile banking. Based on the data of Bank BTN, the applications for the online mortgage loans made through the website recorded a significant increase, namely more than 42,000 applications. The applications have increased 208% compared to the ones in 2017, which only reached 13 applications. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tersirat apa yang akan terjadi. Kau ingin pergi dariku, meninggalkan semua kenangan, menutup lembaran cerita. Oh sayangku, aku tak mau. Ku tahu semua akan berakhir, tapi ku tak rela lepaskanmu. Kau tanya mengapa aku tak ingin pergi darimu, dan mulutku diam membisu. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Apakah yang harus aku lakukan untuk menarik perhatianmu lagi? Oh, walaupun harus mengubah tetap di sini, lihat aku, duhai sayangku. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku. Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu?
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia. Listener, today we will take you to find more information about the history of Bidadari Island. Indonesia has abundant tourism attractions. From 17,000 islands ranging across the country, there is an island that captivates people's attention. The island is renowned not only for its magnificent beauty, but also its history. It is called the Bidadari Island or the Heavenly Nymph Island. The island is a part of Jakarta Special Capital Region. Precisely, in the Thousand Islands Regency. Before being popular with the name Bidadari Island, the island used to have two names, which were Sakit and Permerend Island. In the 17th century, the island was utilized by Dutch colonizers in Indonesia to support the activities of Dutch people on the Ondras Island, as the Ondras Island is located not very far from the Bidadari Island. Some supporting facilities were built on the Bidadari Island. In 1679, VOC, the Dutch Trade Company in Indonesia, established a hospital for leprosy patients, which used to be located in Angke. Therefore, the island was known as the Sakit Island, which means the island of ill people. At the same time, the Dutch people also built a fort used to monitor their enemies and protect them from the enemy's attacks. Before being occupied by Dutch people, Ambonis and Dutch people used to live on the island. In 1800s, the British Navy attacked the island and destroyed the buildings on the island. In 1803, the Dutch people took over the Bidadari Island again and rebuild it yet. The British people launched another attack in 1806. Due to the attack, the Ondras and Bidadari Islands were heavily damaged. In 1827, the island was rebuilt by the Dutch people by deploying Chinese workers and inmates. A building used for people who want to go on the Hajj pilgrimage was built and used until 1933. Before being a resort, the island was abandoned and unoccupied until 1970. Even people never visited the island. In the beginning of 1970s, a company named PT Sea Breeze managed to develop the island as a holiday resort. Since 1970, the name of the island was changed into the Bidadari Island in a bid to attract visitors. The name Bidadari is inspired by the names of other islands in the area of the Thousand Islands, such as Putri or Princess and Nirvana or Heaven Islands. The historical artifacts, especially from the Dutch occupation in Indonesia, will amaze visitors when they visit the island. Visitors are also recommended to stay at the resort on the island while enjoying the ambience of sea surrounding the island. Since the island is located near Jakarta, many tourists consider not staying on the island. Visitors can enjoy the breeze of sea air as well as discover the historical buildings on the island. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about the history of Bidadari Island. See you on our next edition.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, lessons in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic, titled Waktu dan Jarak, or Time and Distance. Next is a conversation about waktu dan jarak, or in English, time and distance. The conversation is between Tony and a taxi driver from the airport to Mutiara Hotel on Malioboro Street, Yogyakarta. Tony wants to know the distance of some places in Yogyakarta, and he asks the taxi driver.
Pak, apakah jauh dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara?
Ya, lumayan.
Berapa kilometer?
Sekitar 12 kilometer.
Oh iya, apakah ada pasar tradisional di dekat Hotel Mutiara?
Ada, Pak.
Wah, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional?
Mungkin 1 atau 2 kilometer.
Oh, cukup dekat ya. Terima kasih, Pak.
Iya, Pak. Sama-sama.
As usual, after the conversation, I will introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. 좌우, in English, far. Once again, 좌우, in English, far. 咯咯, in English, means near. 咯咯, means near. 쭈쿱咯咯, means close enough. I will repeat. 쭈쿱咯咯, means close enough. 디데갓 hotel Mutiara, means near Mutiara Hotel. 디데갓 hotel Mutiara, means near Mutiara Hotel. Next, apakah dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara jauh? In English, is it far from here to Mutiara Hotel? Once again, apakah dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara jauh? Is it far from here to Mutiara Hotel? Next, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? Means, what is the distance between a hotel and a traditional market? Once again, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? What is the distance between a hotel and a traditional market? Next, berapa kilometer? In English, how many kilometers? Once again, berapa kilometer means how many kilometers. Next, sekitar 12 kilometer means about 12 kilometers. Once again, sekitar 12 kilometer. In English, about 12 kilometers. Next, yeah. Lumayan, in English, not bad. Once again, yeah, lumayan, in English, not bad. And the last one, mungkin satu atau dua kilometer. In English, around 1 or 2 kilometers. Once again, listener, mungkin satu atau dua kilometer. In English, around 1 or 2 kilometers. Listener, when you want to know the distance between two places, you can use the question berapa. Once again, if you want to find out the distance between two places, you can use the question word berapa. For examples, berapa jarak antara, or in English, what is the distance between place 1 and place 2. For example, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? Or in English, what is the distance between the hotel and the traditional market? Another example, berapa jarak antara bandara dan hotel? Or what is the distance between the airport and hotel? To answer the question, you can mention the distance. For examples, berapa jarak antara bandara dan hotel? What is the distance between the airport and the hotel? 12 kilometer. 12 kilometers. Berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional? What is the distance between hotel and traditional market? In English, what is the distance between hotel and traditional market? The answer is sekitar 1 atau 2 kilometer. In English, about 1 and 2 kilometers. Listener, you also can add the words kira-kira, sekitar, or lebih kurang if you are not sure about the distance. Then, to find out about the distance that must be taken, you can use these questions. Apakah jauh dari place 1 ke place 2? Once again, apakah jauh dari place 1 ke place 1? Or in English, is it far from place 1 to place 2? And to know whether the distance is close or not, we can use the expression apakah dekat dari place 1 to, place to. Once again, apakah dekat dari place one to place two? In English, is it near from place one to place two? To answer the question, you can say in accordance with your estimation. You can say dekat or close if you know the distance is near. Jauh if the distance is far. And lumayan if it is far enough. Of course, you would say tidak tahu if you are not sure about the distance. The distance units often used in Indonesia are meter and kilometer. So if you want to describe a distance, it is better to use meter or kilometer. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pak, apakah jauh dari sini ke Hotel Mutiara?
Ya, lumayan.
Berapa kilometer?
Sekitar 12 kilometer.
Oh iya. Apakah ada pasar tradisional di dekat Hotel Mutiara?
Ada, Pak.
Wah, berapa jarak antara hotel dan pasar tradisional?
Mungkin 1 atau 2 kilometer.
Oh, cukup dekat ya. Terima kasih, Pak.
Iya, Pak. Sama-sama.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Get out of my
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Meet me again, Ahmad Faisal, in the Music Corner segment. In today's edition, we have a song from Aceh. The song is titled Maulati and is sung by Apache 13. The lyrics tell a love story. A girl thinks love will always be sweet, like a sugar cane. But as a matter of the fact, love is not as simple as that. It can be burdensome, bitter and salty. Even so, the lyrics contain sincere remarks about love. The lovers are full of loyalty. They just cannot make it work. Maulati is by Apache 13. They are an Acehese folk band. Apache 13 only performs at charity stages for disaster victims. In 2013, Apache 13 had opportunities to perform at other venues around Banda Aceh. They only sing in the Acehese language, despite having a younger fan base. Well, listeners, here is Maulati by Apache 13. Enjoy the song.
Sangka cinta bantu be
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.